All right, folks, so this is going to be an alert. There's nothing that can be done about it. I'm just letting you know that I'm picking up this. Sorry for the background noise here. Picking up this information. I don't know what this. I don't know what the connection is, and maybe as I'm talking to you, I might be able to make it, but what I'm getting is this. This move on the Smithsonian is not what it appears to be at all. People are saying, yeah, they're going to go through and, you know, the news media is saying they're going to get rid of the, they're labeling it as the wake profiling that has been happening. You know, it's like, a president of a country is not going to go into the Smithsonian to remove that. He'll hire somebody to go after it. That's not even news. That's just a manipulation of information. But the Smithsonian, this move on the Smithsonian is a much bigger picture. And I get the feeling it's a key signal. Why would it be a key signal? Well, folks, the Smithsonian has had an impact on the entire world. It's not just a museum in the United States. It is internationally impacted the world. It's taken many things and hidden them. It's like imagining how the United Kingdom wound up with so many treasures from other countries that those other countries did not give. The Smithsonian tends to be on the same wavelength. But what they do instead is they don't assume ownership of treasures and then display them. They go much further. They go to a length that goes back to before even this historical figures like Jesus or the different discoveries made by kings of Rome or Egypt. The Germanic time frames, the time frames of the Persians, Mesopotamians, even the Tatarian people. We're talking before even those people. The Smithsonian has collected this information and put it into vaults to hide it. Why would they be hiding it? Because it contains information that shows the history of the human race and a lot more than what we're being shown right now. And right now the human race has devolved so dramatically that it's people are starting to see it and say, what's going on? Why are we devolving and not evolving anymore? So his move on this company is a big signal to say we're moving towards canceling or stopping the deep state. Now, right now, I will tell you again that I'm pretty comfortable to say that I don't think Trump is actually going to pull off the things that he said he was going to pull off. But to hear that he's actually going after the Smithsonian tells me that 10% that I was saying, okay, yeah, well, maybe something's still there, that 10% just became critical. Because that's the one place I did not think they were going to go after. I didn't think there were anything about it at all. But the fact that they are going after that tells me that the technology and the history is going to be, I wouldn't say released, but I would say that the power of who's controlling it is going to shift hands. And then from there, it's going to be interesting to watch what changes are going to be allowed to come out versus what may take a little more time. The psychology here is quite serious. We're dealing with things that the general public probably could not handle, not right away, nor does the mainstream media want to allow it, so they're going to drip feed false narratives. Now, because they're private companies and because the legal system keeps them protected, Trump is not really going to go after them too much right now. I don't think so. He may not ever go after them. I did see them coming at one point, turning it into a military thing, but I think that vision that I had was canceled or postponed when more information came about where the deep state is and how it's the depth of it is makes what's happening on TV and the mainstream media look like a silly child story. And I've already mentioned that before. So going back to the Smithsonian, now he's starting to say, okay, we're going to now go at the history. Well, if we're going to go for the history, then I'm going to say that perhaps the whole thing that he wanted to do in the beginning and said he was going to do, now he realizes he can't. He has to approach this from a different angle, a dismantling. So the first part of the story is the underground systems, taking them down. The hidden world of the deep state and what they do that's not in the public eye. Stopping that. Well, they haven't stopped it, but they sure as hell have reduced it. So now if they release the history and they start saying, hey, look at this, look at that, people may actually turn around and say, oh, wait a minute. This has happened before. Why is it happening again? And that brings me back to the point of what I was talking about in one of the last podcasts I did, which is Trump trying to keep people's attention at a very high rate where they want to see changes, but keeping people motivated is critical. Because right now, most of the people across the world are demotivated. They're just not caring. And that's the critical point. He needs to keep that energy up. So what I'm hoping, actually, I think what I'll do here now is this is coming in fresh right this second. I'm being pulled. My mind is starting to be given these images of a deep underground, deep, not like a building's length deep, but like tunnels that go down for a few miles. And that's a long way, not straight down, at an angle. And it empties into this very nicely controlled room. And when I say controlled, I mean temperature-wise, light-wise, and atmosphere. Whatever this place is that I'm seeing here, that I'm being shown, contains offices, pressurized rooms, humidity, different types of air, even in some cases, which is really weird, is gravity. The strength of the gravity in some rooms is mitigated. Some of the rooms
people actually have to get in, dressed up into full body suits with some type of an covering over the face, the visor that they have to look through, and a full helmet, full suit, head to toe, and it's tinted. Apparently, there's a certain amount of light that's required. Maybe it's powerful infrared or something, or ultraviolet, that needs to be able to see certain documents. And I also get this feeling that some of these artifacts are sensitive or activated by certain light or frequency. So even some of these rooms have certain ongoing tones or pitches within them to keep certain things at a baseline neutral, or as I say in science, nominal level of operation. And they know what some of these things do, and therefore they keep them at a kind of a shutoff position. And I'll pull back from that and just look around, and this isn't the only room that has that. And these are some of the things that they're hiding completely from the public's eye. They have no idea this stuff even exists. Some of these things actually, it's like an instant transporter, which would tell me that the Stargate, even though it's the one that I did in the last one, is a modern transport. It's actually very limited in where you can go. But this, what I'm seeing here is this little toy. It looks like a little disc. If you program it correctly with something that's connected to it, not Bluetooth, but something, it pops open a window and you can step in and you go to this other place, and or you can have a direct communication in real time with people or whoever you want to talk to from another star system. So you apparently the communication, let's say you wanted to talk to, you name the star system, anything. What was the name of that movie with that? Vega. There was a movie back in the day from a Carl Sagan movie called Contact. And they used that female actress. I'm going to have to pause this because I can't remember her name. Okay, so the name is Jodie Foster, written by Carl Sagan. The movie was Contact. And in that movie, there was they received what they call a sign or a signal from Vegas. Not Vegas. From Vega. Vega, that's it. So imagine you're looking at this device and it's showing you a real time, like a video call, but you're talking with another star system and it's instantaneous. How the hell is that possible? These are the things that the Smithsonian has. And some of the skeletons that they've ascertained from other countries, big ones, to Tartarian giants, are down there. And they're keeping them in a very safe place. So that's what I'm seeing in this place. And there's multiple rooms. And I would even dare say that close to these rooms, I'm just getting more information here. This sounds like a fantasy. I'm hoping to God this is real. Off of these rooms, there's other connecting transport tunnels. Not like the one I came down in that I saw. That one's kind of like a specific doorway from somewhere under the, somewhere within the Smithsonian. But it's not like you go into a room and then you open up to a security door. No, it's much, much more complex than that. This, you would never know that the door is there. In fact, I think what would happen is that you'd go into a room, you would have pre-clearance to go in there, and you'd need it like a few days in advance before everything is set up. And once you're in the room, part of the room, for some reason, maybe the floor slides out, or a wall all of a sudden slides away from itself, or in some fashion to expose a staircase or some kind of a small transport. And when the door opens, it lights up. You sit down on a very fancy, modern-looking seat, and closes behind you, and you go down. You go down fast. So it's not like a simple walk in and you see the place. You see where the floor is. You don't. It's perfectly hidden. And there's security that'll look at you, and they'll be watching you. And if there's anybody else, they either get shot or they get taken out or something happens, but it's not good. But this is not a normal entrance to go into. I think it may have been one of the kind of a back, I think they created it for a multiple of different things, including, bizarrely enough, a possible emergency ventilation system. Maybe. I can't say for sure. Or at the time, maybe it was a power source while they were first creating the gigantic room. Who knows? But off of this tunnel, off of the room, or this gigantic place, there's a number of different places you can go into. And it feels like there's people live, or when they're stationed in these rooms to do their job, they stay there for weeks on end. And there's a, you know, everything you can want for luxuries in there. These people are treated really, really good. Ultimate luxuries. I dare even say companionship. Don't know how that works. I'm not going to ask, but it sounds pretty good, actually. Human contact is critical. But that's what's down below. And it's not just under the Smithsonian. It's in multiple places. But I've already talked about cities that are underground, for sure. I just didn't realize that I would be getting a view of one of the places that the Smithsonian operates. And they also have multiple places that have been shut down by the federal systems that have a lot of secrets that they keep. And many of them are extraterrestrial in nature. So when I say that Trump is looking at the Smithsonian, I think that's a signal that things are taking a turn. And I would say it's more along the lines that that's making the deep state, the bad guys, a little bit nervous. Because this is one step closer to the ability to confront the banks without the banks creating an issue to distract everybody, including the politicians. Because they can do that. They just have to do a little bit of changing in numbers or something, and boom, they can create a really bad situation. And this needs to be mitigated every step of the way carefully, so that the deep state, when they try to say, okay, we're going to attack, they can't. A very slow domino effect. And I'm not going to say they're winning yet. No. A lot of people are like, oh, they're panicking. They're no, they're not panicking at all. But they know that they're losing power. I would agree with that 100%. They are losing power. But the biggest signal that we are winning, and we will win, and perhaps even in my lifetime, is when the banks all of a sudden say, okay, we're changing our systems, and you can spend the money where you want, when you want, how you want. And they won't use excuses like safety and everything else. If they really wanted to keep people safe, they would do things very, very differently than what they've done. They love to manipulate the hell out of things. and then say, oh, in the name of safety, now we're going to do this. Oh, well, that makes sense. No. Then that's, excuse my, my mind playing its internal little game of two people talking in an argument that probably didn't make a damn bit of sense to you. But anyways, the short story is that I think this is a key move, and it's being shared, and we'll see what happens from here. But one of the big dominoes is starting to fall. And I don't think it's just going to be the banks that are going to get a little bit more upset. I think it's also because if the technology that is being suppressed using the Smithsonian is released, it's not going to just be, transportation. It's also going to be communication. If any of that stuff gets released, the cellular phone world will crap out. And if that is the case, then we are going to be shifting very quickly over to a different type of phone systems, where it'll be video or 3D. What do you call that? Where there's no screen, it's just a pops up in a three-dimensional thing, kind of like they did in Star Wars and some of the things. I forget what it's called, but looking at somebody on a screen doing a video call that's going to be a thing of the past. And that's probably coming within the next few years. And if the Smithsonian releases some of the technology, then yeah, our cell phones are going to become useless. They'll become paperweights, and people are looking at them saying, we used to talk on those pieces of junk. Yeah. But I already did a remote view about that one a while ago. All right, folks, so that's it for this one. That was an interesting one. Thanks for listening, and talk with you in the next one.